Now we will hear from Amina Rasul Bernardo, who has been a terrific colleague here at the Institute as a senior fellow. And she has done more than any single person to keep us here at the Institute focused on issues relating to the Philippines and Mindanao in particular. So we thank you for that. And thank you for helping put this all together this afternoon. So over to you for your perspective on this.
Thank you, Rich. I didn't realize that I've spent 9 months already at the Institute of Peace, and time flies when you're having fun amid conflict situation. I didn't realize that it was possible to have fun while you're in a situation of conflict, but there it is. Thank you for being with us as we talk about the issues of women in Islamic countries. And I thought first I should say that Ms. Tohidi's statements about women in Islamic situations sounds very similar to what we have in Mindanao. And having said that, let me make a slight differentiation. The problem that we have seen in Mindanao, where the majority of the Muslims are, is that modernity has not exactly meant greater liberation for the Muslim women. And let me tell you why. Historically, the Muslims in the Philippines, as well as I think the Muslims in Malaysia, Indonesia, and the rest of Southeast Asia, have been, shall we say, more liberal in their interpretations and in a way truer to the original context of Islam when they look at the equality between men and women. So historically speaking, before independence of any of the Southeast Asian states, if you look at the relationship between men and women, there were less barriers for women to assume roles of responsibility. In the Philippine context, for instance, we have had women leaders who actually led men into warfare. In Sulu and Tawi-Tawi, where I come from, documented when the Americans came, they have written up about a woman named Panglima Hatima, who, because her husband, who was the original chieftain of the village, died, brought the men together and the entire village and continued to fight against the enemies of the village, including the Japanese. So there is a lot of documentation about the freedoms that were available to Filipino Muslim women as well as Muslim women in Southeast Asia. Now, as the spread of modernization reached us in Southeast Asia, several things happened. The issue of racism, the ethnic conflicts that surfaced in areas like Mindanao in the Philippines, and the fact that the national liberation fronts in many countries started linking together created negative impacts on causes like women's liberation. For instance, when the martial law period of the Philippines was implemented in the 70s, the rebellion, the insurgencies of the Muslims of the South was really fueled by the military operations that we had in the Muslim South. As the insurgency movement of the Philippine Muslims gathered strength, they linked up with supporters of this of Islamic insurgency worldwide. They went to Libya. They got trained in Pakistan. They had linkages with colleagues of theirs who were putting together similar insurgency movements in other parts of the Islamic world. And when this happened, our men, the Muslim men of the Philippines, who used to be more, broader in appreciation of the the relationship between men and women became more orthodox. So as they gained strength in organizing the insurgency movement, they also brought in greater orthodoxy, which was not very friendly to the situation of women. And as the Moro National Liberation Front gathered recognition from government and the insurgency group that we have now, the Moro Islamic Liberation Front, or the MILF, did the negotiations with government, more and more the role of women became emasculated in Mindanao. A very sorry situation for all of us. Sharia was mentioned by Mr. Hidi earlier, and although traditionally Sharia protected women in the sense that if there was a divorce in the family, the rights of the woman to alimony, to the inheritance of her own property from her family, these were secured by Sharia. But the Sharia, as it has been codified under the Philippine law, and this was codified under martial law, very male-dominated, military-dominated national government, what happened was they brought together Muslim male lawyers to form the code, and when they interpreted the family laws that affected women, it became a very male-biased Sharia. So women's rights actually became less protected in the last 30 years than they were during the pre-colonial or even the colonial period of the Philippines. Now, having said that, how bad is the situation of women in the Philippines? Well, there's good news and there's bad news. In spite of the growing orthodoxy of the Muslim communities, largely because of this need to establish our Islamic identity, our brotherhood or sisterhood with the rest of the Islamic nation, because of the feeling that there is an oppression that's going on here because we're Muslims, many women still are not effectively barred from participation in the Muslim South. They still have access to educational opportunities, although that has been getting less and less over time because of the effects of the insurgency operations. Political participation has not been an area exclusively for males. A case in point, for instance, one of the most formidable governors of the Muslim provinces has been a woman, and she and I have had conversations about what it takes to be a leader, a Muslim woman leader in our communities, and she said, never listen to the Muslim clerics, because they will tell you that a woman cannot become an executive, that they will cite Quranic text and say, a woman can only be advisory. Therefore, you can be a legislator but not a CEO. And she said, do not listen to them, because I am a woman. They told me not to run. No one would support me. And she won with landslide victory. And she won against a male warlord who was the candidate of President Marcos. So it's amazing the way Muslim men and women in the Philippine community react towards these issues. While on one hand, they will now more and more get women to be more circumspect and use the veil, although we did not use the veil over 30 years ago, still they will follow women who exhibit leadership acumen. And I think this is because the bottom line for our communities is the survival of the family and, by extension, the survival of the clan. So whichever individual, male or female, who can best assure the survival of the family or the clan gets supported by the family, by the clan, and by the community. So if it is a daughter who has the best chances of winning a political position or securing a government job, or bringing home dollars by working abroad, this daughter or sister is supported by the family. That still remains in spite of the growing orthodoxy. So we have these positive factors that are still exhibited in the Muslim South. Now, on the negative side, because of the political realities that we have, the military operations that was sparked by the ethnic conflicts between the Muslim communities and state, the women in the Muslim communities are now doubly burdened. When you look at Filipino women in general, they are burdened by the fact that in situations of poverty, it is the woman who has to make do, who always finds a way to augment very meager incomes. Now, in the Muslim South, the year 2000, all-out war was the declared policy of the Estrada administration. And this all-out war policy has led to a refugee total of about 800,000 individuals, and over 90% of these 800,000 are Muslims. So the Muslim woman in the South not only has to contend with the poverty situation, but they now have to contend with survival and the worst possible situation, which is that of the internally displaced person. When you look at their situation, then liberties there, freedoms there, political participation evaporate. What we see in the Muslim South is that the Muslim woman do not particularly care anymore about issues of political rights or freedom. They do not care whether it is the husband who decides who should be the elected leader. They do not care about who is going to become president or governor. The only thing they care about is securing the survival of their children and their family. This has great impact when you look at what should be the interventions in my country when you want to help the situation of Muslim women. The two groups have different requirements. The spearhead for the Muslim communities would be those who do not belong to the IDP or the directly conflict-affected areas. And here you talk about linkaging between the Muslim women leaders, the political leaders, with other groups so that they can continue to expand the outlook of the Muslim women of the Philippines, continue to provide them support, networking, so that they know what are the correct balances between men and women in the different situations outside the Philippines. But this is a smaller group of, I guess you would call them the more elite women. The majority of the Muslim women in the Philippines are more concerned with bare bones issues. They're more concerned with entrepreneurship. They're more concerned with replacing the goat or the chicken or the carabao that was lost during the war. And that is their entire life. So what needs to be done if you're looking at assisting that group of women is to, I suppose, look at issues of poverty alleviation, to look at the issues of economic development, to look at issues of entrepreneurship. And this is the best way of securing them, because political rights mean absolutely nothing to them if their economic survival is not assured. So in the context of the Philippine setting, there are so many points of intervention that are possible, ranging from SANAM working with women leaders and trying to find out what best practices can we bring together so that we can get more women interacting all over Southeast Asia, the Middle East, the areas like Azerbaijan, so that women can come out and educate their sisters and the world about what is the reality of being a woman in our own situation. To the minute considerations of Muslim women in the rural area who are looking on how to replace a chicken that costs 25 pesos, which is approximately 70 US cents, but that one chicken spelling the difference between survival or non-survival for her family. So this is the situation that we have, and my only misgiving really is that modernity has not really impacted very positively on the women of my community. If anything, it has taken away more than we have gained. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mina.